Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Buchady joined as always by Carter Augustine. What's up, Carter? How are you, man?
What's up, Nate? Doing well after a pretty good road trip in Vancouver. How about you?
Yeah, you got to go to the beautiful Pacific Northwest. Vancouver is one of the most beautiful spots in the league. Did you get to enjoy any local fare, any good tasting food or anything like that while you were up there?
Yeah, I went to seafood spot right on the water and got some fresh mussels that I think they went out and grabbed right when we ordered them. They're delicious. So didn't get any sushi though, which was a shame. I want to throw our videographer Jordan under the bus because he doesn't like sushi, so we all had to cater to his finicky tastes. So that was a bummer, but because what a sushi town in Vancouver.
Maybe the best sushi town in North America.
Arguably, you have to think it's probably what that San Fran,
and Seattle, maybe,
maybe New York sushi, or is there?
I think there's sushi in New York, but I feel like you're on the Pacific Rim over on the other side. So
yeah, I'm with you. It's got to be up in the Pacific Northwest and San Francisco, maybe L.A., but definitely in the conversation, Vancouver.
Okay, but then more importantly, you guys went out there and saw Sporting Kansas City deliver a 3-0 victory over the Vancouver Whitecaps. Second shutout in a row, second win in a row. We know this team has to start stacking some wins up. Let's take it from the defensive side first. Two clean sheets in a row. How much progress is this team making defensively in your mind?
It seems like they're making a lot of progress, right? And maybe the consistency is the biggest factor in that, and they're getting that back four along with Tim Mealy, along with Ilya, and they seem to start to be gelling together a little bit better than they were, and especially, you know, Barat and Beisler together seem to have been starting to figure each other out a little bit, and that center back partnership is always so important. But I thought they played well. I don't know about you. I mean, they didn't allow all that much from Vancouver in that game.
Yeah, I thought that it was back-to-back dominant performances by Sporting KC. Yeah. By the way, I forgot to list off the menu. I will let you know that coming up on the show, we are going to sit down with Tim Melia, the all-time winningest goalkeeper in franchise history after getting the win in Vancouver. Then we're going to talk with Betsy Maxfield, who is the director of player care for Sporting KC. And I think that's going to be a conversation I know I'm very interested to talk to her. I think hopefully people find it very interesting to listen to, because she has a unique job. Not many in the league, and she basically takes care of everything that the players need here, whether it's housing, buying a car, all that. So we're going to talk with her just about some cool stories, funny things maybe she's encountered along the way, and how she got to that job, and how important that job is for the team as well.
Unique and difficult.
Yeah.
Because these are pro athletes, you know.
Yeah.
I think at Sporting we're lucky to have a bunch of accessible guys, but they're still pro athletes. So it's a difficult position to be in, I would say.
Quite demanding, and I think she's pretty much on call 24/7 with interesting requests. And remember, pro athletes are from all over the world.
Yep.
This isn't like if you're in the NFL, pretty much everybody's from the United States that's playing on that team.
Yeah.
And even in Major League Baseball, most people are from the United States or the Caribbean. You know, they're from literally, they could be from any country in the world, and she's going to help take care of them here when they get to town. So that'll be fun. So that's all coming up on the show. But we're talking about this game from Vancouver, and you asked me, I thought two dominant performances by Sporting. The scoreline didn't say dominance against Chicago because it was only 1-0, but we saw the chances that they had. This time around, they maybe didn't even have quite as many great chances, but they put them away this time. And I thought two games in a row where there was no question that they were the better team on the field.
Yeah, definitely. And I think to that point, how important was that Felipe Gutierrez goal? Because if there was a point in time where Vancouver was getting into the game, it was kind of just leading up into that goal right after the halftime break, and they forced a turnover high up the pitch, and he finishes with aplomb. And that, you know, that's the thing. They need to finish their chances. We've heard that from Peter Vermes over the past couple of weeks, and for him to step up and bang that one home, that was such a huge goal, because they have Vancouver come from behind in two-goal games a few times this year, but the way the game was playing out, You just felt that Sporting could hold on to the ball and protect a two-goal lead.
So for Sporting, by getting those 3 points, they put a little bit of distance between themselves and the Whitecaps, who were right behind them at the time. Whitecaps now down in the cellar, tied with Colorado on 20 points. Sporting at 25 points. They are still 4 points off of the playoff line. They have at least temporarily moved up into ninth place. Now, Portland's right behind them with a midweek game in hand this week, and so we'll see if they stay there by the time Saturday rolls around. But right now, they did pick up 3 points on FC Dallas in Houston. Both lost their games this past weekend, and now they've got FC Dallas coming up. We're going to preview that later on in the show, but what a big game that's going to be for Sporting Kansas City. So to wrap things up on Vancouver, though, as you said, Felipe with the big goal. Gerso, for my money, should have had 2 goals in this game. It was so close.
I feel like it was going in. I mean, I didn't get to see the angle that our producer was in my ear telling me that they've got an angle that maybe it's going wide. But I'm just like, that one's so close that you feel that it should have been given to him.
And maybe I'm too generous in that regard. I'm with you. If I'm 100% honest, I think it was headed toward the post. Now,
does it crash in?
Yeah. Does it bounce off the post and go in? Does it bounce off the post and go wide? And one of the things that we can't really tell is where exactly it's headed with the English that it had on the ball, because it was kind of curling back in the right direction. And I just feel like if you don't know for sure that that thing is headed away from goal, it should be almost always given as a goal, because the guy doesn't want the own goal.
Yep.
He's not going to be upset if you give it to the player. And the guy that's shooting it certainly wants the goal. So I think it should be pretty obvious that this thing's not headed on target if we're going to take a goal away from somebody.
Yeah, we interviewed Gerso off air by the locker room after the game, and he made that plea. He said, hey, this is the way I see it. He's going to be really sad if they give it to him, and I'll be really happy if you give it to me. I was like, okay, that's a decent argument. But, yeah, it's curious to me because the league seems to be very generous now in terms of giving out assists, second assists, all this other stuff. So you figure they'd be generous in that regard as well.
And Gerso did tweet out, my plan was 1 goal for mommy and 1 goal for baby GJ. Someone is ruining my plan at MLS. But Gerso, he's always got that smile on his face. And we did see through his Instagram story that he does have that baby now, GJ. We're so excited for him.
Congrats.
So happy for him.
Yeah,
you know, talking to him earlier this year, what it means to him to be a dad.
Oh, man. And considering his background as well, being an orphan, and he is, like you said, we talked to him earlier in the year, and he is so excited for this this chapter to be a father. I think it couldn't happen to a better guy, and I think that baby's going to have a lot of love from those two parents, and just really happy for him. And also, he's played well all season. For him to get a goal finally in the score column is good. But you heard from Tim Mealy after the game. He thinks that Gerso has been one of their better and more consistent players all season, despite that being his first goal of the MLS campaign.
Yeah, and Matt Beisler said the same thing to me on the morning show today on Sports Radio 810 as well, unsolicited. He basically said Gerso's been he's been carrying us on his shoulders for quite some time. So it's great to see him get that first goal. You can go on Twitter, hashtag vote Gerso for MLS Player of the Week if you want to. He did make the Team of the Week, the MLS Audi Team of the Week. Gerso is one of the starters there. So congratulations to him, and congratulations to the whole Fernandez family. Emmy and Gerso, proud parents as of this week. We will take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Tim Melia, who hit a milestone of his own, all-time winningest goalkeeper in Sporting KC history, right after this. The Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, and, of course, wherever you get your podcast too. If you're not listening live, you can listen on the 810WHB app, on 810WHB.com, Spotify, iTunes. You can ask Alexa to play the podcast for you, and she will oblige as well. So however you're getting the show today, we appreciate you listening. Nate Bucati along with Carter Augustine, joined now by the winningest goalkeeper in Sporting Kansas City history. Man, that's a crazy thing to say. Tim Melia joins us. Tim, how are you, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
How does it feel? I mean, you've heard it a bunch now, but how does it feel when you hear that sentence said out loud?
Strange, right? Thinking about it, where I was when I came to this club, and then I think it's just kind of overshadowed a little bit just by where we are in the year and how things have gone, to kind of focus on something that's a little positive. So it's strange to hear, but it's something I'm very proud of and very humbled by to belong to a club and to be able to succeed these type of things at this particular club.
I was going to say, does your career path make this even more special? How, like you just mentioned, how you got here just a few years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that most people would have bet against for sure. I think it was something that I needed to focus first on, just getting in, on a field once, right? Just finding a place to play consistently. And to be able to do it at a club that is so supportive from an ownership, a coaching, a fan base, and just a really good quality group of players, it's something that I'm very proud of and humbled by.
So right after the NFL draft, Andy Reid was doing a press conference, and he threw out a stat that there are more current active players in the NFL who are undrafted free agents than first, second, and third round picks combined. Now, some of that's a numbers game. There's more guys in that other pool, but those are all guys that went completely undrafted, that the teams didn't see fit to pick in the, whatever, six, eight rounds, whatever they have. And so I asked Andy Reid about why he thought that was, and he thought about it, and he basically said, you know, part of my feeling is that those undrafted free agents never spend a single second in the league thinking that their spot is made. And there's an extra level of work that goes into that just because they're fighting for every little thing they get. Do you think that describes you in some way in your journey?
It does. I think so. I've always tried to just keep my head down, work as hard as I can, and, you know, grab a hold of the opportunities I've been given. But I also think professional sports is more about, especially in MLS, is more about grit than, you know, coming out of college super hot, being a high draft pick. As we all know, the draft in the MLS isn't something that's there's a ton of energy thrown into.
Right.
It's more about the development from a younger age, you know, getting the academy systems in place, getting the USL teams in place, and allowing players to develop in a culture, in an environment that is going to, you know, set them up for success.
Over these years, do you have any favorite memories in these wins that now you're at the top spot?
I still, to this day, remember my first appearance here and the first couple seconds of the game coming out and heading the ball. That's something I will never forget.
Help me out on my memory. What was your first game? Which one was it?
Against Chicago. At home. We won 1-0. And the opening action from the kickoff, I don't remember if it was Dax or whomever, but it went back, and they just launched the ball into the box, and I, like, ran over Kevin Ellis and headed the ball outside the 18.
We were just all hopped up on adrenaline.
Just ready to go. I mean, that ball could have landed anywhere.
Yeah.
Luckily, it was played close enough to the net, because otherwise I probably would have just ran and missed the ball just further away.
Is there a moment in your journey where you thought, this is it, I'm done, or that you think of maybe kind of as, like, the lowest point that now you can look back on and almost smile?
Never a low point. I don't think that's how I'm built. I think I'm a little different in the sense that I never looked at failures as, oh, this is something I need to push aside. But it was something that I've always been honest about with myself, in the sense of there was a time limit on what I was doing. You know, I was married. I was dragging around my wife everywhere. And just, you know, you can only do that so many times before she's like, all right, come on, do something else. So even when I got released from Chivas, I felt like there was such a negative cloud around it. And, like, even players and friends were like, oh, what are you going to do? And I was like, this is a good thing. I was like, I now have 6 months under contract to get myself in the best possible shape to go be on trial somewhere. This team's not going to be here next year. So I'm 6 months ahead of all you guys to find a place to put myself in a good environment. And I'm going to be the first one looked at because I was a pool goalkeeper and I was able to go on so many different trials throughout that process.
What do you remember about the process of coming to Kansas City and how you kind of landed here?
It was actually a lot simpler than you would think in someone in my position. I came here with the pool system. I stayed about a month, month and a half, I remember. Spoke very, very briefly about potentially doing something in the off season. I just said, hey, I'm obviously available. If you guys are interested, let me know, let my agent know, so forth. And then they reached back out in January, and it was a lot simpler than you would think for someone in my position.
Going back to the positive thought you had when a lot of people thought maybe this is a horrible thing, you got released. Is that in your nature? Are you the kind of person that finds a silver lining every time like something like that happens? Or was that just complete, this is me sizing up the situation and this could turn out to be a good thing? Are you the kind of person that finds the good thing when something happens?
I don't want to say I'm a super positive person, but I am someone that's always what's next. Even in really tough situations, I'm always like, all right, what do I need to do to fix this? What do I need to move forward? I'm not someone that stays, you know, in the present. I'm not someone that thinks about what happened, you know, in the past. I'm someone that's always trying to move on to the next thing.
right after you kind of started being a starter for Sporting Kansas City, you came on the Sporting KC show at Jazz. Do you remember that? Jazz,
yeah.
Louisiana Kitchen. So how much credit do you give to the Sporting KC show for bolstering your starting host?
I think you guys got my name out there, and we just ran with it, and it worked out for everyone. So
it's been too long since we've had you back. Sorry, we don't have any chicken a la mer with us this time for you. We have Tim Melia here. He is the he is the all-time winningest goalkeeper in Sporting Kansas City history, which is incredible considering the names. I'll be perfectly honest. Caroline, who does the stats for us during the games, when you tied the record in the home game 2 games ago, she put a sticky note in front of me that said you had tied the record, and I wasn't sure I believed it. You know, I mean, I was like, I feel like we need to double check this because some of these guys were here for a long time and won a whole lot of games. Did you know you were approaching the number or anything?
No idea. Never thought about it. Nothing. It's not something that even entered my mind. We're, you know, obviously the season we're having, we're focused on so many different things that individual accolades or achievements are at this point are important, but not the main focus.
Yeah.
With those names in mind, does that give you any added pleasure? I would say. I mean, Tony Meola and Jimmy Nielsen, just complete legends in this club's history.
Kevin Hartman was pretty darn good too.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, phenomenal goalkeepers all around. The biggest difference between them and me is they've all won MLS Cups, so I got to get that in my pocket before I even put my name next to them.
Okay, well, let's talk about this season then, because that's still in play. And it was actually last week I was having a conversation with Felipe Gutierrez. I was asking him about the video that he put together for you guys. And asked him why he did it, and he said, because I think we can still win MLS Cup, you know, and I think that we all need to believe that 100% in this locker room. I'm assuming you guys do all still believe that.
Yeah, right now it's just about taking baby steps. I think it's something when you just throw out these grand gestures or we're going to win an MLS Cup, we're going to win Supporter Shield, whatever it may be. Right now we can't look at that. I think we just need to be able to get back to playing a style that we're comfortable with and a style we're good at. I think what you've seen in the last couple of games is we're capable of playing a possession style game, something we've been building towards since I've been here.
Yeah.
And I think now we have the quality and the right, you know, chemistry amongst the players. Guys have played long enough one another. We have guys in positions that are really important with the possession aspect of it. So I think all those pieces are starting to come together. And the biggest thing is we've done it in the past.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. We haven't had this enormous overhaul of our roster. So we need to just get back to being the type of players that we've been and shown in the past.
That back four is starting to get some consistency in front of you. What have you made, I think, especially of the partnership with Beasler and Barat right in front of you?
I think Barat's done really well the past few games. I think he's had a pretty good season all around. I think we've put all of us in difficult situations that you wouldn't normally be in, and it's kind of not put us in the best light at times, but that's on us. I think just as, you know, the back six, I would say, start to gel more and are more comfortable in knowing where people are going to be, how we're going to step, how we're going to drop back, how we're going to play, it's only going to, you know, lead to more results, hopefully.
Well, that back line with you in front and behind it has combined for 4 clean sheets out of the 5 times they've started together. And one of the big moments of the game against Vancouver to keep that clean sheet was a penalty, or not a penalty, but a free kick save that you made. You took a couple of steps to your right, diving save. Take us through what you're seeing on a play like that. Is it difficult to see the ball with the wall where you're lined up? And maybe what was the key to making a save like that in that moment?
Properly set up wall was first. The guys did a good job. They were positioned well. It's difficult to see the right footer. The left footer, you can see his approach. You can see when he's going to put his foot down, and it gives you a little bit more time. I believe it was Adnan, the fullback, that was the left footer over the ball. He didn't strike it, so you almost missed the run-up. You kind of see the head bounce on the top of the wall, and then you just try to set when he gets close to the ball. It is hard to do, but, you know, it was pretty far out, and it was a save I think I should make.
You guys got a result against Vancouver, a win against a Western Conference opponent. You've been kind of struggling this year against Western Conference opponents. You've done well against the East. Does that add any pressure here down the stretch against these Western Conference teams?
I don't think so. I mean, this is obviously a great opportunity coming up against FC Dallas, who's sitting in the last playoff position. You know, even though we're a little separate, I think it's 4 points we're separated. I don't think West or East means a lot right now. We just got to win games to get points. Simple as that.
Does that help a little bit that it is simple right now?
I think it's what we need. I think we need to simplify everything. We need to focus on us and less about, oh, Portland's here, Seattle's here, we got to play so-and-so. We just need to approach every game singularly and make sure we're doing the things we need to in that game and then think about the next game.
Yeah. We're visiting with Tim Melia. Before we let you go, this is the year of the family in Sporting Kansas City. How about Gerso, by the way?
Yeah, congratulations. Really happy for him. Awesome guy. I'm looking forward to meeting little Gerso.
What kind, now that you're an experienced father yourself, what kind of advice would you give him about balancing, you know, the rigors of being a professional athlete with being a dad when you get home?
I have no experience. or I feel like I have no experience. I think just, you know, supporting one another, you and your wife, it's difficult. It tests you. You're tired. But it is a lot of fun. And all the annoying aspects of the really young babies are well worth everything else they do, because it's an awesome, awesome part of your life.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate having you on, Tim. Congratulations on everything you've done. And as you said, I know that it's not about the individual accolades for you. It's about what happens with the team. My final question for you is, when it comes to your story, you know, we have kids that listen to the show that look up to people like you as professional athletes. What would you tell them about your journey as the most important thing to take away? You know, if they were to look at your story and say, this is what I look up to about Tim Melia, what would you tell them is the most important thing to take away from it?
Create your own path. Don't allow other people's suggestions or opinions to dictate where you go in your future.
All right.
Well said.
Pretty good stuff. Yep. Tim, thanks a lot for the time, man. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. That is Tim Melia. We will take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to another member of the Sporting Kansas City front office and give you a little peek behind the scenes into the day-to-day life of maybe some of the players that come from other parts of the world and who helps them acclimate to Kansas City. That's as we continue with the Sporting Kansas City Show right after this. And the Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati along with Carter Augustine. We, of course, thank you for listening on the podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts as well. I know my son listens via Alexa when he goes to bed at night. So not saying that the show would ever put you to sleep, but that's how my son that's how my son does things. We now have a very special guest. We've been having a lot of fun this season bringing in people from behind the scenes who can maybe show you a little bit more about how the operation that is Sporting Kansas City comes together. And this, I think, is going to be one of our most entertaining interviews that we've done so far this year. So I'm putting pressure on her right away, Carter.
Yep.
Her name is Betsy Maxfield, Director of Player Care. Betsy, how are you?
Excellent. Thanks for having me, guys.
Before we get into what it means to be the Director of Player Care, let's talk about you.
All right.
Now, I think I'm outnumbered here. Two Iowans to one Kansan.
Yes.
Fist bump. People didn't get to see the fist bump between Carter and Betsy. Where in they Iowa are you from?
Ah, beautiful Sioux City, Iowa. Wow. Directly north on I-29.
Yeah. Tropical Sioux City. And then how did you end up down in the Kansas City area?
Absolutely. So after high school, I got a soccer scholarship to play at KU. So I played there 96 through 99.
The coach there was Walker, right?
Yeah, and then I ended with the current coach right now, yeah. Mark Francis. So I played under him my last year.
I'm positive that I interviewed you as the sports director at KJHK Radio as about a 130-pound prepubescent junior in college. So I'm sure I left a huge impression on you at the time.
Right.
But what was your college career like? How did you like playing at Kansas?
Yeah, I mean, like most student athletes, the first year is trying to figure out your balance and wondering if you made the right decision and you're not playing a ton for me. And then it's kind of finding the balance between it all. And I changed my majors a few different times due to avoiding practice times or, you know, hard class. It may or may not have affected my eligibility, but you got to get through it. And I ended up, thankfully, growing my scholarship each and every year till the end, where I was a full scholarship athlete and had a successful career, I think, on the field, but then really grew as an individual there.
Yeah, grew as an individual. What did you wind up with your major? I'm curious.
Yeah, so I ended up with a sports management major.
Sure.
They don't have a director of player care major?
No, they didn't.
Some days you could teach that class to
they
people.
They didn't.
You were telling us beforehand, so and you entered at Rock Chalk Video? at one point in time?
That was just, you know, trying to, like everyone says, build that resume while you're still in school. Because I didn't have a lot of time to get a job. So they were really flexible with me. And then I do, you know, I mean, we're talking 3 to 5 hours a week, guys, trying to do a little internship. And then I was thankful enough after I got done with my 4 years of college to do the on-the-job internship. And the unique part about it and the funny kind of come around full circle was in year 2000, I did my internship with Chiefs and Royals. So if you remember correctly, that we were owned by the same gentleman, Lamar Hunt. We had our offices out at Arrowhead, and we all worked under the same roof. And everyone who worked back then worked on both. You weren't necessarily just a Chiefs employee or a Wizards employee. You dug in and worked for both.
So you went from college to this internship, and then did you get
involved? So then I stayed there for, thankfully enough, made a bit of an impression. Got a full-time job there afterwards. And actually, Brian Bliss was an assistant coach then, and he and I and a few others, we kind of started the camp program then, because you couldn't be just an assistant coach. Obviously, you had to help run camps, and then we were trying to get a youth program off. This was probably 01 or so. I stayed there for a couple years, ended up going back to school to get a master's in sports management. For me, I felt like a female, a woman in sports, I had to figure out how to get like a little bit of an extra edge. So I thought at that point in time, education may be a key to that. So I ended up getting an international master's on sports management, did that over in Europe, in England, Italy, Switzerland, through FIFA. So I was fortunate enough to do that. From there, work for the Federation, Chicago for a year. From there, it's way too cold for me in Chicago. There, I went out to L.A., worked for David Beckham for 5 years, the David Beckham Academy. And then in about 09, 08, if you guys remember, that's when the whole academy became mandatory for MLS teams. And I started talking to the current owners, which were five local business guys, and ended up coming back to Kansas City in 09.
So you mentioned being a female in the world of sports. You're on the technical staff, Diane Robinson, who's a dietitian, Megan Cameron. There are becoming more females
Absolutely.
In the technical staff. What do you think of the way that how much progress have we made in your world?
Yeah, I think quite a bit. You know, when I started, none of those other ladies were here. I have been with the organization now since 09, so almost 10 years. And to see it grow and change, and especially not only on the technical side, as you mentioned, Nate, but also on the business side. So the amount of vice presidents on the business side has been a true test to our ownership and our president, Jake Reed, to, you know, believe in the individual, not the sex of the individual.
Yeah. We've got Betsy Maxfield here. She is the director of player care. So let's get into it. How would you describe your job for those that are listening and they say, what is the director of player care?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd say it's kind of an all-encompassing role, and I know we'll touch on that. It's basically to take away all and any distractions that a player may have off the field, whether it's family or school or money or things he may or may not need to purchase or do. So take all those distractions off and focus on Saturday night's 90 minutes match.
That's got to be pretty difficult for all the different requests and things you get in from these guys.
Carter. I'd say one of the most difficult is that you're working with a human being, right? So you're not working with a set thing or a set program. So it's not a one size fits all.
They're not clones.
No. And we got not only just U.S. players, and then you can't just categorize it as foreign players, because every country has their challenges, and then that's still not the same. So, you know, the minute my boss, Brian Bliss, signs the guy, the player. He hands it over to me, and then I make the kind of welcoming, the, all right, are you coming solo? Are you coming with a child, significant other? What type of living arrangements? You always got to ask about their pets as well. And then we kind of go from there and start to form that first relationship over, you know, texting and brief conversations until they finally get on ground. And then I kind of start the move-in process.
So you help these guys find where they're going to live, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of the top three items straight off the bat is housing, transportation, and bank accounts. So
you're helping these guys set up their checking accounts and stuff.
Yeah, and ATM cards and how to make deposits. We've had gentlemen that don't know how to even work an ATM machine. So we've gotten to that. And then, you know, it doesn't stop there with guys who have been around for, you know, 2 years to 10 years. Those type of guys, maybe they had something new happen in their life, like a child, and now all of a sudden they need to figure out daycare in the city, or they need to register their child for a school, an elementary school. So I help, you know, the guys with their family members as well, whether it's their wife needing, you know, doctors and dentists and a whole kind of ecosystem around them, as well as, you know, guys who have been here and are even from Kansas City, helping them find schools and realtors and whatever they may need.
Well, you've had such a varied background, like you just were talking about, Europe, L.A., Chicago. How do you think that background of yours has helped in this role?
Yeah, I think it opens your eyes a little bit. And kind of when I say you really realize that not everyone has the accessibility that we have, and there might have been different challenges over in Europe and in L.A., and that you have to kind of help them through what they're used to, because they might only know Kansas City or the U.S. from, quote unquote, the movies.
Yeah.
We're visiting with Betsy Maxfield. She's the director of player care. And you mentioned it. I mean, you got people coming from Africa, Europe, South America, Central America. Give us a good story of helping one of those players from another country maybe acclimate to the United States that maybe hit home for you in terms of, gosh, I you know, what this person's expectations are versus, you know, do you have any good stories for us on things you've had to either buy for them or explain to them?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus here, but I mean, one of the quick funny facts is I've negotiated 14 different car deals over the last probably 14 months.
Are you just a tough cuss? Are you just a brutal negotiator by now, aren't you?
Yeah.
We're not buying this car for less or more than whatever.
Yeah, well, that and the guys, I always try and get, you know, their first service for free, or you got to get some weatherproof mats in there for the guys.
Get some mud mats.
I mean, there's always something. These guys are like, whoa. So that's been fun, and I've been able to create a lot of positive relationships with some of our corporate partners. And also, I'd say some of the we had an African player that's come to our team, and so you know, you go to the airport and you welcome them and you pick them up, and then they usually stay in a hotel anywhere from 7 to 10 days before we decide on that apartment or that house they're going to move into. So first stop is usually a grocery store or a drugstore, and you kind of pick up the essentials because you never know what they're traveling with. So I remember going to saying, like, all right, let's get some snacks. Let's get some bottled water. And we go down the aisle, and I quickly say, here, half this way is flat water. Half this way is bubbles, fizzy water. And he is just staring. I mean, we have the blankest stare ever in his eye. And I kind of say, hey, buddy, what's up? And he's still frozen. And I said, okay, well, if you're not understanding, just look at the little picture. If you can see, this is strawberry, this is lemon, this is lime. If you can't read the word, like, let's go, let's pick it up. We got stuff to do. And he's still frozen. And I'm soon realizing that we have a whole aisle, and sometimes in Target and other places, you know, it's an aisle plus of water. And he looks down, and there is this this humongous jug. You all know what I'm picturing. And it's on the bottom shelf, and it just has this, you know, plastic handle. And he said, I've seen one of these before. And he picks it, and he runs down the aisle. And the same exact thing happened when we went around the corner to get some toiletries. And I said, hey, grab a new toothbrush. And again, he froze, and he said, but I don't understand. Why do all the handles have different colors? And then this one says soft, and this one says firm, and this one even has a button on it. Why does this toothbrush have a button on it? Don't they all just clean your teeth? And it made me realize, like, how difficult we sometimes make the easiest decision. So that day I had to make a few decisions for that player.
So many options. We take them for granted. We have so many options in the world.
Yeah, and to some of the players, and I say I'm not old enough, you guys. They call me mom or mom or mama, and I'm all, whoa. I'll be your big sis, but I'm not going to be your mom. I'm not that old yet.
I think that's good insight to a lot of players that come from different countries, take a long time to adapt to the league. And does this maybe shed some light on that and give some people some sympathy for these guys that come over? Because it's not just playing soccer on the field.
No. I mean, and Carter, you're exactly right. That adaptability, I think, is another, and that word is in my job description. How do I make that adaptability time shorter? So we transferred a player here mid-season, and he came with from another MLS team with his wife and three kids, one of them being, you know, almost a newborn. Let's call the player or the child 3-4 months old. And within and he's an experienced player, but there's still an adaptability whenever you come to a new city. And within less than 7 days, I had his family from one state to another state in a house with furniture, all of his own furniture, and his kids registered for school, and his whole family here. His big thing was he's not going to be complete until his family's here. So, and that includes vehicles, their pet, the whole family, everyone. And those are the standards that we put on ourselves. You know, around the league, I do or don't know if that's the same sort of standards, but the adaptability for international and domestic players has to be, I mean, quick as possible, because then you're right, then they can perform and get to their job.
Do you have any idea how many different teams in the league have a director of player care? Do they all have one?
Absolutely not, Nate. I think we're at 3 right now.
Wow.
So, for example, I was fortunate enough to go to a conference last year in England where a bunch of teams came together, and there was a group there from Man United, and they were telling me that in my department they always have 6 to 8 people for the first team alone.
Wow.
And I think it's becoming more and more the norm. And you know, we're still a young league. We're about to hit 25 years. So I think it's going to get there. And then it's going to be people in my position that are specialized. I think kind of my next project that I'd like to do is, we know, probably more than half our team right now is married or has a significant other. How do we get them involved with the decisions, with especially the financial decisions, and how to support the guys on game days, and look at it more as a unit? You know, obviously we support our significant others and their job, but are the wives doing it for, you know, their husbands here or their partners? So I want to get them more involved, and then obviously we want to continue to educate our players on the, like I mentioned, the finance side, the sports psych side, and just kind of continue day to day with whatever may or may not come up.
Well, one of the things this organization's continuing to do too is bringing in young talent into the academy system, trying to have those homegrown players. And we're already seeing Gianluca Busio and Jalen Lindsay and Daniel Shalloway have been, you know, at the senior team level. They all stay with host families. Are you involved with helping line up host families for kids as well when you try to get a new kid to come to Kansas City?
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. And that's another really big part of my job is that I work across the three entities here, the three entities being the Academy, the B team, Swope Park Rangers, and then the first team. So I'm kind of not only the consistent voice between if a player does get signed and make the big leagues, but then also those players that you're talking about specifically that are living in host family situations, I oversee that program. To date, I've placed 8 new players and host families that will start here in August. So we're always, always looking for those good host families, whether it be in the, you know, Overland Park, Olathe, Shawnee Mission, north of the river, up in KC Mo in Parkville. We have lots of good families. And I always explain it best as it's like bringing in a domestic foreign exchange student. So, you know, opening your house up, providing the meals, providing the support. The good thing is that our club takes care of those host families, both financially compensating them and making sure that we can kind of delight them, whether it be on game days, watching warm-ups, or obviously providing them complimentary tickets. But we really bring them into our Sporting KC family.
Well, if you're interested in being a host family, and you heard that right there, sportingkc.com, click on the Academy tab, and you can get all the details there. Like you said, you get reimbursed, you know, for the expenses of the situation. One of the things that I think is the coolest is hearing Gianluca tell stories about how he's a part of the family. He goes to his younger host siblings' sporting events and soccer games, and he's there watching them play just like they come and watch him play. It's really a cool experience, it seems like.
Yeah, and he's been there, I think, for about three years, and he's still got almost 2 years left there. So he's been with those kids half of their life right now. So wow. He has a younger brother and sister, host brother and sister. And the other, not to sound corny, but beautiful thing is seeing the families, you know, raise Gianluca almost together and mesh together. So his host family here and then his biological family in North Carolina. So he has an older brother and sister there. So if you look at it, Gianluca is right in the middle of his host and his other brother and sister. And when they come in town, they all have meals together, break bread together, and really talk about how to help Gianluca reach his fullest potential.
That's really cool. Yeah. Well, hey, Bexie, thanks so much for the time. We really appreciate it. It's fun kind of, you know, getting to know you a little bit and hearing some stories about what it is that you do for the team.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Betsy.
So Betsy Maxfield, Director of Player Care. It'd be nice to have a director of, you know, of announcer care for me and you, Carter. Yeah. We could have somebody take care of us a little bit, you know.
Lord knows we need it.
Yeah, we probably need more help than the guys, but maybe we're not as important. So we'll remember that. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get you set for Saturday's big game against FC Dallas as we continue with the Sporting Kansas City Show. And welcome back to the Sporting Kansas City Show. As we wrap things up, our thanks to both Tim Melia and Betsy Maxfield for joining us on the show today, Nate Bucati and Carter Augustine. And now we turn our attention toward the next game on the schedule for Sporting KC. And this is going to, I hope, Carter, become a really repetitive refrain every week when we do the show. But what a big game coming up for Sporting Kansas City. The reason I say I hope it becomes repetitive, because I think if they keep winning games, then we're just going to keep saying that as they move their way up the table. But this is a big one, because right now Sporting Kansas City are 4 points off the playoff line. That playoff line is set by FC Dallas. They can't catch Dallas on Saturday, but they can pull to within 1 point. If they lose that game, then they fall much farther behind. So there's a lot at play here, and that's hopefully, like I said, going to be the case the rest of the way. But this should be a really good one on Saturday night.
Yeah, and it's the, you know, the first of the two meetings between the clubs. And are they on decision day, the second one?
That's right.
It's either decision day or the day or the week before. So that return leg in Dallas is going to be should be a doozy as well. But you, like you said, this one especially to get within 1 point of Dallas, considering you have to play there on the road later in the season as well. These home games are so important for Sporting Kansas City, and they've just they've dropped a lot of points against Western Conference teams this year. And we've heard in the past from PV that that's an important aspect of the league, is to pick up points in your own conference, because mm-hmm. there's no relegation, so it's not exactly a six-pointer, but it definitely feels like a six-pointer in terms of the playoff race.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you're right, it is at FC Dallas on decision day as well. So this is going to be a big series in determining some of those playoff spots. And Sporting Kansas City are hoping to pull to within 1 point of FC Dallas. And FC Dallas are an interesting squad this year.
Yep.
Because Oscar Pereja's gone. They have brought in someone, well, really, they stayed in the family when they hired their new head coach, because they've decided that, look, we're going to focus on developing all of these homegrown players that we have. So Luchi Gonzalez, who's been running that academy system at FC Dallas that has produced so much talent over the years, and we're seeing a lot of those young players on the field for FC Dallas right now.
Yeah, especially this year we're seeing Paxton Pomico kind of start to make a little bit of a jump, right? He's really being almost tasked with being the main playmaker for them at times, and he's growing in stature in the league and within his team. We've seen Reggie Cannon get his call up to the U.S., and he seems to be really understanding his role as a right back. And again, he's getting better and better, it seems. And then Brandon Cervenia has kind of popped up. He was with the youth national teams and did really well there, and he's come back with Dallas. And he's another kid that you think has a really, really bright future. So they've got some of these young players that you think, man, these are some good players, but they're coming off a really tough loss at Minnesota this past week. And you have to think, with those young players, how does that affect their mindset heading into this one?
By the way, Paxton Pomico, I think, is destined for the U.S. men's national team at some point, but only 19 years old. And he is really, this is the year that he has started to assert himself as a regular starter on the team. People might not remember this. You know, he made his MLS debut at Children's Mercy Park back in 2017. I know you and I remember that game very well. It ended in an ugly 0-0 draw. It was one of those games where FC Dallas had I think they had maybe an open cup game around it, or for some reason, Oscar Pereja brought a whole bunch of the young guys and played them, and they just parked the bus behind the ball the whole time. And they kind of uglied the game up, and they were able to sneak out of here with a 0-0 draw. We're going to see a very different Paxton Pomico 2 years later than that 17-year-old that we saw. He's not here to park the bus anymore. This is a team in FC Dallas that really tries to possess the ball a lot like Sporting Kansas City do.
Yeah, they do. And talking to Peter Vermees and a couple of guys at training today, they think that they're going to press pretty high in this game, FC Dallas. And Pomico will be right up there in the press. He's got 2 goals, 2 assists, and 13 starts. That's a decent return for a 19-year-old. So I'm excited to see him because, like you said, feel like he's destined for the U.S. team, and feel like he's destined for a move abroad as well. He's just got bags of talent and a huge potential in his future.
Well, and we've seen that already. A lot of those FC Dallas players have moved on overseas, and so we wonder if Pomico might not be the next guy. And you mentioned the way they lost that game to Minnesota United. We were kind of watching that, getting ready for the Sporting Kansas City game, and you know, I was rooting for a draw there for SKC's purposes, and it looked for all the world like the FC Dallas was going to get one because they got awarded a penalty at the very end of the game, but it was denied by Vito Manone. Yeah. And
Ziegler took the penalty, awful penalty.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's got to be pretty heartbreaking for Dallas. But another player that moved overseas that I think they're going to be missing is Carlos Grueso, and we've seen some really good battles between he and Espinoza in the past. And I don't think Roger will be back for this game either, but it'll be a different game than we've seen from Dallas and Sporting Kansas City over the years. A lot of new faces for both sides.
So there's also a bit of a competition taking place on Saturday night as well. During halftime, the media game is underway. And look, it's the place where legends are made, Carter. You know, I'm not going to ever stop talking about the goal that I scored in the media game a couple of years ago, no matter how annoying it becomes to anyone. But I'm not involved in the media game this time. You are. And I believe you're playing on Danny Welniak's team.
Yep, Team Welniak.
So what can we expect from a Carter Augustine? What type of performance are we looking at on Saturday at halftime?
Well, we're supposed to be starting this heat wave tomorrow, right? And
yeah,
it's supposed to carry through the weekend.
You better be hydrated.
Well, I already told Danny when she drafted me that don't expect any running. And that was before this news of this heat wave was coming through. So expect a very Andrea Pirlo-like performance in terms of ground covered. Maybe not as accurate with the passing, but I'll definitely be yelling at people and telling them where to go. That's for sure.
You predicting a goal or anything like that? No? No? No brash?
I'll have some shots, that's for sure.
Okay.
You know, we're going up against Diego Gutierrez, old friend of mine, and
you leave something on him. Maybe, you know, just take a chunk out of him at some point, just to send a message.
I don't want to take a chunk because I'm worried about retribution in that regard, especially him being such a hard-nosed player back in the day. So I'll try and maybe dribble around him and see if I have some success. So he was the first pick overall. Got to credit the scouting report on that, and I'm looking forward to maybe seeing him out on the pitch.
Well, it's all going to be fun on Saturday night. Sporting KC taking on FC Dallas, 7:30. You can hear the game live right here on Sports Radio 810. You can also watch it on Fox Sports Kansas City Plus and on the Fox Sports Go app with our pregame coverage starting at 7 o'clock. Myself, Carter, and Matt Lawrence. And then, of course, Matt and I are going to have a little commentary for you. With your camera's going to be on you, buddy.
That's
I just
not
want
great.
You to know that. No, it is great. You need to embrace it. You need to lean into it and soak up the attention. That's my advice. But that's going to do it for us on this edition of the Sporting KC Show. We appreciate you listening, and we'll see you Saturday night at Children's Mercy Park.